This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When I met you in the summer.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to the Equity Mates Summer Series, proudly brought to you by Sharesies. Over 12 episodes, we're diving into some of the most exciting, interesting, and well-known companies from Australia and the US. Each episode, we're also joined by an expert to help us unpack the key metrics, the bull case, and the bear case for each company. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you?
I'm very good, Bryce. I'm excited for this episode. This is a company that I don't know. I've had my eyes on for a while. Haven't bought it, but...
No, I thought you had.
I don't.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You have had this on your radar for a long time. So I'm also excited to jump into this. Today, we're diving into Mercado Libre. And our expert is David Halpert, founder, portfolio manager, and chief investment officer at Prince Street Capital, a specialist emerging and frontier market asset manager based in New York and Singapore. And that will become relevant once we start unpacking Mercado Libre. But the Equity Mates Summer Series is proudly supported by Sharesies. And we love Sharesies for a couple of reasons, but primarily because it's an easy and approachable platform, especially with their auto invest feature where you can truly execute dollar cost average. And in an environment like we are at the moment, DCA is certainly a strategy that you should be thinking about.
DCA is the way.
DCA is the way. You get access to Australian, US, and New Zealand shares. All the markets are available. You can pick an order, the amount you want to regularly invest, and let auto investing do the rest. How good. You can use the code GROW when you sign up to the Sharesies platform for $10 into your account, ready to invest. Promotion T's and C's applies, and download the Sharesies app or visit sharesies.com.au to learn more. Thank you, Sharesies, for the support.
We're in a real rhyming mood today.
Yeah, we are.
DCA is the way, auto invest and let it do the rest.
Yeah, how good.
Mercado Libre.
Today is the day. Now, while we are licensed, we are not aware of your personal circumstances. All information on the show is for education, entertainment purposes only. Any advice is general advice only. But Ren, in one sentence, what does Mercado Libre do?
It's the most popular e-commerce platform in South America. It's brackets.
Okay.
Often called the Amazon of South America.
Right.
Yeah.
The Amazon of South America.
Which I have
big
a little
shoes.
I have a little bit of a gripe with because I actually think it's more like the eBay of South America.
Because of the functionality of it.
Because it's more marketplace. Now obviously eBay has gone more into first party sellers and Amazon has gone more into third party sellers.
Yeah.
But if you think about like when they were started, the difference between Amazon and eBay. Amazon was an online retailer. It was an online version of Walmart or Woolies or, you know, it insourced things into its warehouse and then it sold them.
Mm.
Whereas eBay was a platform that connected buyers and sellers.
Mm.
I think Mercado Libre, at least in its original formation when it was founded in 99, was more eBay than Amazon.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's unpack it. So history, the company was founded in 1999 by a guy called Marcos Galperin. Pronunciation unsure, but I'm that's the best we can do.
Argentina's richest man.
Argentina's richest man.
Now, not when he founded it. Yeah.
He was attending Stanford at the time and got funding from HM Capital Partners, JP Morgan Partners, Goldman Sachs, GE Capital and Santander Group. What a start.
It is a story of being in the right place at the right time, being surrounded by the right people.
Mm.
Being at Stanford, for those who are unfamiliar with where Stanford is, it's in basically San Francisco.
Yeah.
In 1999, peak of the tech boom.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
Mm.
And he clearly saw models that were getting funding at the time, you know, Amazon and eBay and stuff, but they were some of the hottest companies in the 90s, the startups in the 90s. And he said, why can't I do this in South America? And he did it.
And he's done it.
And JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, GE Capital, which was big pre-JFC, Santander Group, HM Capital Partners. Not really familiar with them, but
still,
they all pitched
in. He did pretty well. So that was back in 1999. In 2001, eBay came in and purchased 19.5% of the company, really helping them on their expansion story. And then eBay sold their stake in 2016, 15 years later?
Yeah. And we don't have the return, but I reckon eBay did better on Mercado Libre than McDonald's did on Chipotle.
Which was still pretty good. Yeah.
I don't actually know if that would be true.
It feels like they've gotten out a little bit too early.
If we release this episode before the Chipotle one, that's a little tease for you.
True. It listed on the NASDAQ in 2007. The ticker is MELI, so you can buy it over on or any broker, particularly Sharesies, if it's access to the US market. And they are the first Latin American tech company to be listed on the NASDAQ.
Yeah. By 2016, it had 174 million users in Latin America. And it has just been a story of expanding into more countries and really more recently expanding its offerings around its core marketplace. So in 2019, it opened its first distribution centers in Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico. In 2020, it opened new distribution centers in Chile and Colombia. There was a deck, and we didn't include some of the numbers, but about just the uplift during COVID.
Mm.
And you can see it on their investor relations website. It was like 10 weeks into COVID, early 2020, and they were just like, we're shooting the lights out here. Like,
were they prepared for it?
Was anyone prepared for COVID?
No.
Well, there you go. the reason I didn't include a bunch of that stuff in there, it's because it feels like what we've learned this year is that a lot of those COVID gains, people are regressing to their pre-COVID states.
Yeah.
They're not keeping Pelotons. They're going back to the gym.
Yeah.
They're getting off Zoom calls and slowly going back to the office. And they're leaving online shopping and going back in store.
Mm.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yes. Well, fair point. So, Ren, you said at the top it's the Amazon or eBay of South America, and they are in 18 countries in alphabetical order: Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Spain, Ecuador, Guatemala, Honduras, Peru, Panama, Uruguay, and Venezuela.
Mm.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Mainly in one part of the world, though.
South America.
Yeah, but Spain, obviously not in South America.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But not a insignificant part of the world. Main markets, Argentina, Brazil and Mexico, but pretty massive population.
Yeah. So Mercado's report, Argentina, Brazil, Mexico and other. So that's how important those three markets are for them.
Yeah, okay.
So Mercado Libre, we're probably butchering the pronunciation throughout this episode.
Probably.
Four key business units. Talk me through it.
Mercado Libre is the first business stream, which is their marketplace.
Yeah.
Sort of similar to eBay, Amazon, the e-commerce platform.
Yeah.
Mercado we're going to put that in Spanish. Envio. It's their logistics business. So they've opened distribution centers. They've shipped 276 million items in Q3.
Not bad.
Then they've got the Mercado Pago, their payments platform, and then Mercado Credito, their credit line.
Yeah, they offer credit to small business . So they're their four key business lines.
Yeah.
And you can sort of see they're building an ecosystem for e-commerce retail. They have the e-commerce marketplace where you buy and sell. They have a logistics business to fulfill that. They have a payments platform to process the payments, and they have a credit line business to help
people
start.
Buy.
No, well, I think more to help retailers
get set up
started.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you can sort of see how they're trying to own the ecosystem. They're trying to be Amazon and eBay, but they're also trying to be like Shopify and Square for South America.
Yeah.
And they're trying to just own that ecosystem. And they've got like a startup fund that where they're, if people use the Mercado Libre API, they can get funding from Mercado and stuff like that. So they're really trying to build out and own that ecosystem. They've got two other smaller business units, Mercado Publicado, which is their advertising business, similar to Amazon. That search box is incredibly valuable, and being the first result on Amazon.com is incredibly valuable. Being the first result on Mercado's marketplace is incredibly valuable as well. Then they've also got Mercado Shops, which are tools designed to allow small and medium companies to open virtual stores on their existing websites. So when you think Shopify there.
Yeah.
Like rather than Red Bull listing Red Bull on Amazon, they sell Red Bull stuff through their own website with a Shopify backend.
Powered by
That's Mercado Shops.
Yeah. Why do they say that there's four business units plus two others?
Well, so those are two other business units, but when I was reading their Q3 report, they split out those four main business units. They don't worry about the other two.
Yeah, not so sizable enough yet.
Yeah, that was my interpretation of what their main business units are.
Yeah, fair. So where is Mercado Libre seeing its future, Ren? It's in Latin America, large population, internet penetration only increasing. I mean, it's a story of just expansion, isn't it?
Yeah, so more than 650 million people in Latin America, so big market, one of the fastest growing internet penetration rates in the world. I would imagine Southeast Asia pips it at the post.
Yeah, it'd be close.
Yeah. So we found numbers from 2019, but e-commerce penetration in 2019, so you got to remember this is pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So these would have jumped up, but Argentina, 7.6%, Brazil, 6.6%, Chile, 5.6%, Ecuador, 9.9%, Peru, 3.7%. So you can see they're all in the single digits still. At least they were in 2019.
So what you're saying is plenty of room.
Well, that's what
they're
Mercado
saying.
Libre is saying.
Yeah, so the thesis there is more people come online, more people start using the platform.
Yeah. We want to be dominant in an emerging market and... Yeah.
So in Q3, merchandise volume grew 32% year on year. And look, we hate to say it, you love a super app.
I do love
a super app.
Yeah.
Is that where this is going?
Maybe.
We've got payments, we've got e-commerce, we've got...
So we got David Halpert coming on soon.
Yeah.
He might say the S word. It seems like they have a lot of the building blocks.
Mm.
The other big potential one that is spoken about in South America is Rappi, the food delivery platform. Also got a payment spine, an app used by hundreds of millions of people. So, you know, maybe. But it's just as likely in all of these situations that there's no super app. It develops like Australia has developed or America has developed. Or
stay in their lanes.
Yeah, that no app can dominate in that same way.
Yeah.
But if you were gonna call up Sportsbet and ask for them to make a market on the first South American super app, Mercado and Rappi would be short odds. Equity Mates app launching 2024 would be long odds.
Now, there was a slide that grabbed our attention in their quarterly report, and it was titled What You Can't Miss.
Yeah.
A real key call out. This is the slide you need.
Yeah. And it was just like all of their best things.
Yeah.
For the quarter. And I was like, why don't more businesses just first
this
slide.
This is it. You don't need to read past this slide. Yeah. It's just a good reminder as well, if you are listening along at home, that the annual reports that these companies put out on their website, Investor Relations, is a great resource to find all this information as well.
Mm.
You don't need to do reams and reams of research to get some of the high-level stuff that's going on. But, Ren, what are the key numbers?
Well, I think the key takeaway for me was just growth. Like, this is a fast-growing business. The top line, the revenue number, is growing at an incredible clip. And if we turn to the numbers, you can really see that. So normally in this section we start with market cap, but let's just start with revenue because it tells the story. $7 billion US, so all these numbers are US dollars, $7 billion in revenue in 2021, $4 billion in 2020.
Wow, almost double.
Almost double. $2.2 billion in 2019.
Wow.
So almost double.
Yeah.
5 years ago, $844 million. Now it's $7 billion. It's grown 738% in the past 5 years. That's how much its revenue has grown.
Love to see that.
Yeah.
This is a growth company.
This is a growth company. See you later, Nike. Move over.
Yeah. Again, if you haven't listened to the episode, bit of a teaser there. But 738%. Are they profitable?
They are, surprisingly.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. So $83 million in profit off $7 billion in revenue.
Not huge margins.
It's like a fraction over 1%.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
But they're profitable.
That's retail, that's baby. Retail. They were profitable in 2021. The 3 years before that, not profitable. 2020, 19, 18, not profitable. Were in 17 and 16. So,
but if you look at that growth number, you kind of would expect that, looking at revenue growth of almost 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Year on year.
Well, I think the story here is that they're costs are scaling with their revenue, and there's two parts. There's two ways to interpret that. One is they're spending and investing for growth. The second is retail doesn't have good operating leverage, and your costs do scale with your revenue. Yeah, yeah.
You're always
and you're
like
never going to break free and become super profitable. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle of those two. Yeah. They are definitely investing for growth, and retail also is not a business with great operating leverage.
Yes. Well, there's also, a fear that if they continue just doing more and more business units as well, like there's just more and more investment that needs to come with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the revenue and profit. What about the number that gets investors going in the morning? What's happened to their share price?
Market cap of $43 billion.
US?
US, yeah. Down 35% year to date. No surprises there, in line with most other companies.
It actually surprised me it wasn't more.
Really?
Yeah, because you look at like the high growth US listed tech stocks, like e-commerce software stocks, they're down like 60, 70, 80%.
Yeah, well, they're also not growing 100% year on year.
They're also not profitable.
They're also not profitable. Yeah. There we go. It is up 212% over the past 5 years and was a big COVID winner, as Ren said at the top of the show, up more than 200% from the start of 2020 through to September 2021. It has then come off a little bit, over 50% from there, but still nonetheless pretty impressive revenue growth, it's profitable, and share price growth over the past 5 years. So this is certainly a growth story.
So Bryce, we're about to turn to David. Is there anything else that we need to cover before we get the experts' view on this stock?
No, other than Mercado Libre is listed on the NASDAQ. The ticker is MELI, and you can access the US stock market plus Australia and New Zealand markets on the Sharesies platform with no investment minimum. You can use promo code GROW when you sign up to the Sharesies platform for $10 in your account, ready to invest. All investing involves risk. This is not a recommendation, and you should perform your own research. Promo T's and C's apply. But Ren, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to discuss Mercado Libre with David Halpert.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Getting caught in the wrong shoes can interrupt your plans for the day, like when that 10% chance of rain ends up looking more like 100%. When the transition to fall and winter feels more like experiencing every season on the same day, there's the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Cross off errands with the splash protection on the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with all-condition traction and reflective details on the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Mudguard on the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
One, two, three, bring it back. Hey, it's another delightful day here in vacation land.
It is our pleasure to welcome David Halpert, founder, portfolio manager and chief investment officer at Prince Street Capital, a specialist emerging and frontier market asset manager based in New York and Singapore. Got the yips today. And we're excited to get David because he does specialize in this part of the market. And so, David, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, David, before the break, we were unpacking Mercado Libre as a company. Now we really want to turn to it as an investment, and we are glad that we've got an expert here to help us unpack it. We really want to start with how to analyze the company. When you look at a company like Mercado, what metrics matter? What ones don't? Where do you start with a company like this?
So we've had a change. NASDAQ crashed, the Fed raised interest rates, and the whole way that you think about a stock like Meli has to change with that. You have to be aware of the external environment as an investor. It previously was about growth and market share and innovation, and now it's about growth and cash flow and innovation. So the market share battle, which really defined this stock in the go-go years, is still there, but it's not as important as it used to be. And we always used to talk about Mercado Libre versus Amazon, Mercado Libre versus Shopee, Mercado Libre versus Nubank, Mercado Libre versus Rappi. And in a certain way, those are no longer the important questions. And the important questions are, how much money can this company make? How fast is it growing? And most interestingly and most recently, what's the dividend going to look like?
It's paying a dividend now?
It is not paying a dividend, but it is projected to begin paying a dividend in 2024.
Okay. Wow.
Now, I understand 2024 is so far in the future, it's almost not worth thinking about. But I can tell you some other companies that are not projected to be paying a dividend in 2024, and they are Amazon, C Limited, my dear friends at Gojek Tokopedia, and most of the e-commerce complex. So Mercado Libre is projected to pay a dividend. Also, the other company that you should be thinking about them relative to is a company called Nubank, which is Warren Buffett's digital bank investment for South America. And Nubank is paying a dividend. Mm. So as you see this transition from the NASDAQ kind of bubble or whatever you want to call it, to more of a normal market, you're going to see more and more of these e-commerce titans actually paying dividends and moderating growth expectations to be sustainable growth as opposed to just pedal to the metal flat out. And you see this very efficiently reflected in stock prices. When a management team gets on the call and says, you know, we're managing for cash flow, you know, we're managing for sustainability, we're managing for, God forbid, dividend, the stock stops going down. And when a management team like C Limited or Grab or some of these other guys gets up and says, no, we don't care about that, it's still about market share, the stock keeps going down. And Mercado Libre has outperformed C Limited by about 50% in the last 12 months, which is a huge move. Now, I mean, there are other issues in they have some other mix of markets and mix of businesses and so forth. But I think the basic question is, how is the CEO and to a certain extent the CFO and perhaps the board thinking about cash flow, dividend, sustainability? Mm. Incidentally, I find it bizarre that Amazon isn't paying a dividend given how much cash flow they have.
Yeah. They're, aren't they just trying to right-size their costs from the last few years?
They have plenty of cash flow.
Yeah.
They're projected to make $20 billion of free cash flow in 2023, and they're projected not to pay a dividend. I think this has to do with still this legacy assumption in the U.S. that, you know, stock buybacks are better than dividends because they're more tax effective. But Mercado Libre, coming more out of the Latin tradition, seems to be suggesting a dividend.
Mm. Let's touch on bull case. How is it trying to build sustainable advantage? We've spoken about the different business units that they're creating. What's the bull case?
So they have built sustainable advantage. They are the leading e-commerce company in a part of the world that most people don't care about, but that is still a $5 trillion GDP. And they're the leaders there. They now acknowledge they're not going to be the leading digital bank because Nubank is funded and is smart and is really well run. But I think they're going to build a meaningful number two in digital banking. And I think they are building that. And that represents a lot of the upside in the stock is as you realize the fact that you get both the shrimp and the steak, to speak in Australian terms, this combination and the synergies to the extent that they are able to realize them between the Mercado Pago, Mercado Credito, and Mercado Libre, you know, represents significant upside.
Mm.
Bear case, it's a NASDAQ company. It belongs to all the same people who own Amazon and C and all that. So as these indices go down, it's getting shorted, you know, there are passive investor flows flowing out of it and so forth. So that's really, you have to look at this and say, I'm taking NASDAQ risk.
Hmm.
And if you go and buy, I don't know, gold mines in Australia or treasury bills or even, you know, healthcare or, I don't know, Woolworths or something, you know, you're not taking the same degree of NASDAQ risk.
Hmm.
NASDAQ risk has been awful for the last 12 months. And Mercado Libre has had alpha to NASDAQ, but not enough to justify, you know, a risk-averse investor holding this.
Yeah. When you think about the business risk less than the stock risk, are there other e-commerce players that we should be watching in South America? Obviously, you know, Amazon is a global player and they're playing down there. But are there other native South American companies that you keep your eye on?
Well, Nubank, which is listed and is a native South American company and has all the same brains and strategic savvy that Mercado Libre has. And Nubank's launch and Nubank's presence, you know, significantly changes the long-term upside case for Mercado Libre because they're just not going to be the number one digital bank.
From a retail perspective?
Yeah, I don't think they're I mean, maybe they can do stuff. But if I were them, what I would do right now is take Mercado Pago, Mercado Credito and offer it up to merge with one of the other digital banks, probably in Brazil, and say, you know, it's nice you built what you've built. Honestly, ours is bigger and better, but we can merge and you can have a minority stake. We'll have the majority stake in that. And that probably, that combination probably brings both companies to profit. And if they don't bring it to profit, they shouldn't do it.
Mm.
And then you'll have something that might be the number one, might be the number one and a half digital bank, and then you'll have the number one e-commerce company.
Yeah.
And you'll have them both listed.
One, hopefully the Mercado executives are listening. I'm sure they are. So hopefully they hear that. But one other thing we noticed when we were looking through the numbers is just the incredible revenue growth they've seen in the COVID period and the few years before that. But they've gone from, you know, quarterly hundred millions of dollars of revenue to most recent quarter, what, $2.7 billion in revenue. It's been a pretty incredible growth rate. Now, you mentioned that they're now managing for cash flow, potentially even managing for a dividend. What do you see the growth story going forward? Do you see, obviously not that growth run rate continued, but a meaningfully, like a good growth run rate continue, or do you see it really coming back down?
So consensus is that they'll grow 21.9% revenue in US dollars for 2023.
Okay.
And consensus is that Amazon will grow 10.6% in US dollars for 2023. I think they'll grow faster than Amazon. They've certainly grown faster than Amazon for the last 5 years, and they are in a GDP environment which is growing faster, and they're in a less competitive GDP. The offline retailer in Latin America is much dumber than the offline retailer in the US. And the bank in Latin America is much dumber than the bank in the US. I mean, the last time I spoke to you, the bank apps weren't as good as they are.
Mm.
I mean, we have a bank here in Singapore called DBS. I mean, they essentially, this is as good as a digital bank. Same day cross-border fund transfers, for example, which is a very important thing in Latin America. I think they're going to grow faster than Amazon. I think they can pay a dividend and still maintain a growth rate faster than Amazon. Will they grow as fast as some cash-burning SoftBank funded e-commerce company like Coupang or something? You know, I don't know. They do definitely compete with Rappi, which is the SoftBank vehicle. And my understanding is Rappi is never going to see profit.
Oh, really?
And
God.
Well, that's the SoftBank tradition, is you don't try to make money.
Yeah. Jeez, SoftBank, maybe the worst investors of the last decade.
There's also Tiger Global, but
you know, true.
This mentality of market share at all costs, burn, baby, burn, that made sense at a certain point in history when capital was free and all that. That's just no longer a viable way to think about your company. I've done VC stuff, as you know, and I'm currently wrestling with my VC CEOs to see kind of who really gets it and who doesn't. And if they don't get it, either we're going to get a new CEO or we're going to get a new investment, because you just can't do this anymore. You can burn for a year or two to sort of get your thing up and running. You know, everybody has to invest for a certain period of time, but you can't have an indefinite investment period anymore.
Well, David, to close out, it would be great to get your views on where this where Mercado Libre would be in 10 years. Should it, you know, tick all the boxes and do what it says it's going to do, where do you expect it to be in 10 years' time?
The stock price, 5 times over 10 years.
Nice.
You take that.
So it's gone in half already. So I think it can double. I think it'll probably take 3 years to double. And then it'll probably grow a little more slowly in the out years. But if the guys currently running it can keep their focus, and as you may know, this company changed domiciles, right? They left Argentina and moved to Uruguay. And we haven't spoken about that enough, how significant that can be for them. So if they can remain engaged and entrepreneurial and focused on this, and they don't go run for president or, you know, buy Twitter or whatever, they can still build a lot of value. Mm. Their market cap is currently less than the market cap of Itaú, which is the, you know, consumer bank in Brazil. Well, they touch a GDP, which is twice Itaú, and they probably have more customers than Itaú. And then there's the retailer, and then there's the energy business, which I expect them to build, although they are maybe not facing that much CapEx on that yet. I mean, so there's a lot that these guys can still do. And you have to understand it in the context of what Latin America is. Latin America is not as developed and rich as Singapore or Australia or the United States. It's still basically a poor place. And it still has people moving around looking for work and all this. And this is absolutely great for an e-commerce business.
Yeah.
Or for a digital bank business. Because it's dynamic, it's going to grow.
Nice.
Just one question, just something there, just before we leave. You said people don't speak enough about the move from Argentina to Uruguay. Why is that so significant?
Well, because being an Argentine company is one thing, and being a Latin American company is a very different thing. And this positions them more to be a regional power. Also, this significantly reduces the amazing governance risk that Argentina represents. So Argentina can default again, because they default every couple of years. They can default again, and Mercado Libre potentially doesn't really need to worry about that. Don't forget Mexico. You know, Mexico is in this U.S.-Canada free trade system. It's by far the biggest beneficiary of this. It'll be the fastest growing economy. It'll be the fastest industrial story. And Mercado Libre is the e-commerce company and can soon be the digital bank for Mexico. Now, again, I have to, you know, there's competition. There are other smart people in Mexico. I don't just assume they will win this, but that's part of the upside for them.
Well, David, no doubt it's a pretty compelling story, or certainly has been over the last few years for Mercado Libre, and it feels like there's a great opportunity there for if it can stay focused over the next decade or so. But we have run out of time, so thank you so much for joining us all the way from Singapore. We appreciate you taking the time to chat to the Equity Mates community as always, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Ren. Well, a lot to think about from David there. If you're interested in what David does, make sure you check out Prince Street Capital.
Yeah, I'm glad we got David on. Well, look, I'm glad we get all these experts on because they constantly demonstrate why they're experts. But we obviously prepped Mercado as a e-commerce retailer, and David thinking about them in the future is thinking about them more as a bank.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah.
Gonna have to throw our research out and start again.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to the first half of the episode.
Yeah.
I'm certainly enjoying having the experts on the show, but that does bring us to the end of our episode. A shout out to Sharesies for supporting the Equity Mates Summer Series. Head to sharesies.com.au or download the Sharesies app. You can use the promo code GROW when you sign up to the Sharesies platform for $10 in your account, ready to invest. Promotion T's and C's apply. But Ren, we'll leave it there. And as always, we'll pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. Equity Mates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.